Welcome to The Ether. Today is Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. Today on The Ether, The Atom Zone, Radioactive Session number 2. Let's take a listen.
While we wait for people to enter, I invite a community member to step up and join the call. I think that a good topic for today is definitely the IBC anniversary. And it will be cool just to hear IBC story from community member. Liam, if you want to join, I think you will be a first great speaker. Awesome. So I think a bit of people is starting to enter, so we can officially start the call. So today's topic is the IBC anniversary, which happened 2 years ago. It seems like ages ago, but it's actually 2 years ago because, you know, in crypto, it's like 2 years is probably five years of real life, at least. So it's been a quiet journey, but it's impressive how IBC has been live for 2 years now, and it's just solid. They keep growing, new chains coming. And IBC Atom is actually has been... okay, 1 second. And IBC Atom actually has been the first one to enable IBC, and the first transaction was IBC Atom Iris, which was the 2nd of April, and that was basically the beginning of the interchain. So we have Liam. Liam, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Rob. How are you doing? I missed your introduction, though, as I was disconnecting and reconnecting.
Yeah, it's a classic of the Atom Zone having some technical issue.
It wouldn't be radioactive if it all ran smoothly.
Yeah, and the fun part of the radioactive session is that I actually haven't picked any guests or invited anyone. This is just an open community call, so it's unpredictable, and I'm always super scared when I start one of these because I never know if someone would actually speak during the call. So it's always funny and entertaining. Maybe you have some cool IBC Atom story, like what was one of your first experience?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've got to try and think back now because, you know, I've done so many IBC transactions and we just kind of take it for granted these days, you know. You send like tokens to Osmosis or, it just seems like it's just all part of like the Kepler experience or Leap Wallet or Cosmos Station, whichever one you use. But it's amazing, like how far we've come. Like in terms of IBC, do you remember, Rob, when we were like posting like pictures of map of zones, and there was like 6 or 7 chains, and now we have like, I think it's something like 50 different chains connected. So it's just amazing to see this like network growing at an exponential rate, and the number of IBC traffic and transactions just growing crazily. I'm not sure I've got a story as such, but. I really wish I'd taken snapshots of like map of zones once a week so we could kind of like almost make a time lapse of how the ecosystem's grown over the course of 2 years. It's really magical in my opinion.
No, I mean, I remember the first day that happened, it was that legendary live stream with Billy, with the rocket and moon, and moon emoji. And that was the first time that I think I became a real cosmonaut, like totally passionate about the technology, because I've been pretty early because I joined all the Cosmos movement in 2020. But IBC was definitely the moment when I said, okay, this is actually real, and there is something more here happening besides besides the simple all the investment stuff. This is something that actually is real technology and can actually change indeed the technology and the future of blockchain. So that was a very important moment, and I think that personally one of my first MVC Atom stories was of course with Osmosis, because that was the first one, but following that was definitely NFTs, because there was already Passage, I think, and also Omniflix accepting IBC Atom. So definitely a lot of my IBC Atom went into NFT in the beginning, because it was just fun to mint. Like also was one of my first experience with NFTs. I mean, you probably have also some experience with Omniflix, because I was just a couple of minutes ago in the announcement that you were sharing. Maybe you can also introduce something about that, because it was very interesting.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And yeah, I just want to say, if anyone wants to speak, they should totally make a request to come up and chat and just talk about Atom and Cosmos. But yeah, I actually do remember, you know, the Billy Renkamp moon kind of like face for the videos that used to happen around IBC and the Cosmos Hub. So that was quite a good laugh, but he was also very serious and technical as he talked. So it was quite distracting actually, trying to understand what he was sharing whilst looking at his face on the picture of the moon. So that was funny. For me actually, Rob, like I found like the NFT experience came later through IBC or you know, at least through using Atom across like multiple zones, you know. Like you, it was Osmosis first for me as well. I think it's just amazing that a completely different chain can launch, which was Osmosis, and very quickly the amount of liquidity that came into Osmosis for the Atom token, you know, reached millions of dollars in not very much time at all. I can't quote the exact time frame, but you don't really see that, you know, elsewhere. You don't really see like liquidity for a non-native token pop up so easily like you do with IBC. You know, maybe it happens more frequently now because there's a lot of bridges around. But yeah, that was really special. And I think, you know, you mentioned Passage, Rob. Obviously, that was one of my first like NFT experiences using Atom to buy NFTs. So that was super exciting. And yeah, I was just on the Omniflix space as well. As you mentioned just a few moments ago, sharing some updates, and they were talking about the fact that, you know, their native token, the Flix token, it's not even live yet. It's coming live very soon. That was some of the updates that were being shared. So, you know, keep posted on that, everyone. But, you know, for a year now, they've been using Atom as the main denomination, the main token that NFTs are traded in. And that wouldn't be possible again without a secure bridge like IBC allowing Atom to easily move over to those chains, in this case Omniflix. I think what's also kind of special, Rob, as well, is the fact that all these different chains can use different gas tokens. So, you know, we're talking about Atom and IBC. The fact that you can use Atom to pay your transaction fees on Osmosis, on Kujira, or on, you know, I don't know if they can do that on Omniflix or not, but there's definitely other chains where they allow that. That's something that wouldn't be possible in other ecosystems. You know, imagine using a trusted bridge, like a multi-sig bridge, and then using the bridge token as a gas fee. It seems kind of risky. It doesn't really happen.
Yeah, that was definitely an amazing moment, and I think that, as you said, I did definitely experienced a lot of IBC transaction personally for Passage, because I am very into gaming, and Passage was basically the first NFTs based on gaming Cosmos. So I was very, very interested in that, and I think you can share this mindset, because I know that you're quite into gaming as well. And Beyond that, I think that the first phase of the interchain was just amazing because we were in the middle of the bull market still, so there was a lot of excitement and the liquidity of Osmosis was crazy and everyone was excited about IBC. But the interesting thing is that besides all the hype that right now is a bit less because we are in the middle of one of probably, if not the most difficult bear market ever, but IBC is still holding, the technology is still strong and actually still growing because we just shared basically a few minutes ago a tweet with the Cosmos Twitter. That basically is a summary of IBC in the last 2 years. And I mean, the numbers are quite interesting because even in the last basically 2 years, we still did 29 billion of value transferred in the interchain, which is crazy because we are still in a bear market. In the last month, we did basically 541 million of volume of IBC transfer. And IBC Atom was one of the leading chain with Osmosis. And one of the most interesting things that is starting basically to pop up right now is all the IBC application, which is something that is happening right now in 2023 because we didn't have many IBC application before. Like, for example, if we think about Stride of Quicksilver, that's basically one of the primary use of interchain accounts because they basically do operation for the user on the native chain without the need of the user to basically move from one chain to another to approve transaction. So this is actually because interchain account and it gives the user the perspective of real interoperability when interacting with the chain. And I think Stride and Stride First and Quicksilver are just an amazing user experience for the user. And it's great that Atom has been one of the main focus for both chain in the beginning. And I mean, Stride will also be one of the first consumer chain. So in that sense, there is even a bigger relation with the upcoming Atom Economic Zone. Big use cases that actually many people didn't notice with IBC, it's actually cross-chain validation because replicated security on Cosmos Sub is a reality because it is enabled by IBC. In fact, what allows to create all this replication of the Cosmos Sub validator set to the consumer chain is this IBC application called the cross-chain validation. So what we are seeing is that IBC is not only like but it's actually creating application and it is creating a whole new wave of shared security models that we will see also with mesh security, with Babylon. It's a whole new world basically built upon the first principle that is interoperability, and now you have all this other application, which is really, really amazing to see come to life. So in the meantime, I invite everyone to make a request to speak because this is, after all, an open community call. And the guest is you. So please, guys, if you want to join and just tell your IBC Atom stories, feel free to do it. Otherwise, you will be basically all the time listening to me telling my IBC Atom stories and with the help of Liam. So feel free to make a request. I'm very excited to know the IBC Atom story of community members because I think one of the mistakes that we did in the past with the community call is not involving community members. And I know it's not easy sometimes decide to speak on a Twitter space because it can be a bit difficult the first time, but it's just amazing to see also community members' perspective because I think that the community is one of the main points of strength of Cosmos. So it will be amazing to listen more stories. In the meantime, I think that we can go back to gaming with Liam because you're actually right now, I think, you're managing a page for Cosmos Gaming. So you maybe have some alpha of gaming coming and using IBC Atom.
Yeah, actually, I haven't really got any kind of alpha to share as such on using IBC Atom on gaming, but. I think like gaming's like a big part of the Cosmos ecosystem that's still missing, right? We have like Saga coming in and trying to do a lot of work there. We've got Passage, which you mentioned, Rob, like the first gaming like NFT sale, I'd say, to go to market in Cosmos using IBC Atom, and we have a few other games in development on Stargaze and so on and so forth. But I think like what the community needs in Cosmos is just like some good gaming sessions, right? So Cosmos gaming community is going to try and get just some community sessions, a bit like this Radioactive session, right? Where anyone can come along and come and chat about Atom and Cosmos and IBC. Like the Cosmos gaming sessions are just kind of like tournaments for like Cosmos gamers to come together as a community, chat, have fun, participate in tournaments. And then once these Web3 games go live, we can start incorporating those into the tournaments as well. So obviously, yeah, gaming in Cosmos still has a lot of development that's needed. And I think like us coming together and building a community around like gaming, it's just going to push that forward even faster, because that's kind of what happened with NFTs, right? When Stargaze, Passage, OmniFlix went live, you know, all of these like chains, products, or collections went live, and all of the community like rallied behind the NFTs. When Osmosis went live, all of the community rallied behind Osmosis, and it wasn't just, you know, a small part of like the Cosmos community. You know, it's not just one chains community; it's the Cosmos Hub, the Atom community that's rallied around all of these different sectors. And now we have 50 chains, all of which are like these communities that have been built out from, you know, Gaia, from the Cosmos Hub originally. So yeah, I think we could all do that with gaming as well. But I don't want to spend too much time, Rob, talking about gaming. Specifically. Yeah. No worries. Yeah. But yeah, that's what I had to say around gaming, Rob. I'll let you jump back on.
Yeah, and I mean, we currently are at 53 chains in Cosmos, so, which is quite an achievement. I know in the past there was excitement to reach like 200 chains already this year. But I think we can all agree that the market kind of stopped many chains to launch and delayed the launch. This is why we probably didn't add already like 100 chain, which was one of the most awaited goal to reach. But we are still with 53 chains, and I think we have now coming something like around 20 chain projected in the coming probably 3-6 months, which is quite an achievement considering the macroeconomic backdrop. And there are some very, very interesting that make very interesting use of IBC. I'm very interested in that one. I think that recently we just said Khazar launching, and it's a chain that actually is very interesting because they use the interchain queries, which is another IBC application, and it's interesting because interchain queries it's an application that actually exclude Oracle data from third parties. So basically, what interchain queries is bringing, it's that the Cosmos ecosystem actually will not need an Oracle services like Chainlink or Bend. I don't want to make bad advertisement on Bend, but this is what interchain queries does basically, which is basically IBC that Oracle himself, which is amazing. If you think about it, because the Oracle market, it's a big market and can be entirely covered by the IBC technology with the interchain queries. Because interchain queries, basically, I'm trying to explain in a very simple term, because it was quite difficult to understand even for me personally. It is a protocol that allows a querying chain to request data from the queried chain over IBC, which means that basically blockchain, IBC blockchain, querying data each other and create this oracle, which doesn't need to be covered by third-party services. And it is really in the spirit of the of a blockchain, because blockchain is all about to kind of remove third-party service, to kind of create trustless system. So it's another interesting application that that is coming, and I think that actually Quasar is one of the first to apply it. I may be wrong, but it's definitely one of the first, and it is very interesting that this kind of application of IBC are happening. So I think that going into 2023, we will all see this new now IBC applications that is slowly starting to happening, and this is very exciting. And one of the biggest, probably, IBC application of all is Replicated Security. We just went live on the Cosmos Hub. So now we are currently in the forum, the proposal for Neutron. And this is a very important proposal, because Neutron is basically shaping how consumer chain will approach to the Cosmos Hub. And it's very important that we establish a good precedent. I think that the Neutron proposal is very interesting, because they have a specific use cases, which is very interesting, because being a smart contract platform permissionless, they can actually allow experimentation for the hub. So they are branding this consumer chain as hub execution layer, which is an interesting approach. And I think I've been following especially Spade conversation. And I mean, this guy is an amazing replicated security advocate. And I think we are very, very lucky to have Neutron as first consumer chain, because they are doing an amazing job also to explain replicated security to validators, to everyone that has concerns. So in the meanwhile, also CryptoZito just joined. I think it will be very interesting to hear CryptoZito giving us some alpha about the Cosmoverse that was just announced, because I was here to listening, and this Cosmoverse movement just keeps growing, and many new people is attracted and want to join Cosmoverse, and it is just good to have all the people coming together and not speaking too much on Twitter, because sometimes discussion on Twitter are just getting wild. And I think that in first person, and especially in calls like this, it's not like that. Discussions are more more polite and more interesting, and create also maybe some project, because I heard that there will be also an hackathon to the next Cosmos. So please, CryptoZito, feel free to share some alpha about that.
Yeah, hello. And we got, as always, also racked by Twitter Spaces, so that's why I'm a bit late also. But yeah, it's very exciting. I think Cosmoverse this year, for those that didn't see the announcement, is going to be October 2nd to 4th in Istanbul in Turkey. And like shortly after Cosmoverse, after the main conference, we're going to actually do a hackathon for the first time. And I think in general, like we talked about this in the spaces, but like Turkey is a huge crypto market. I think one of the biggest ones out there. And it has a very, very high crypto population, but very low awareness on Cosmos. So that's why we want to do it there. We're going to fix that. In fact, I think the largest public network there that's most widely known is actually Avalanche, because Emin, the founder, is Turkish originally. So they're heavy Avalanche built, but I think there's also a lot of synergies. And also that, I think just by educating people about Cosmoverse, also in their local language. So we also hired a Turkish community manager that will create content in Turkish, that will translate all our tweets and all these kind of things. So I think, yeah, we really want to go hard on Turkey this year. I think it's a great market for crypto. And hope that all of you guys make it. I think Rob, so far you haven't been to Cosmoverse yet, right?
Yeah, you got me.
There we go. There we go. It's time.
No, I mean, I was very close to go to Lisbon, but then there was all that you know, COVID restriction at the time, and it was difficult to me. Then I wanted to really go to Colombia, but even then there was some. I found some excuse. I remember you saying, "Rob, do you want to come?" And they said, "I don't remember what I said," but even that time it wasn't possible to me. But I mean, next time I will join, because every time I miss a Cosmoverse, I regret it a lot, because I think it's just an amazing experience from a community perspective, because you can meet all the builders in real life, have a chat, and just discover also their perspective of Cosmos and the interchain in the future. It's just totally different, probably from a meeting a real person. And specifically next Cosmoverse, which will be in Turkey, it's quite close to me, which is I'm from Italy, so it's not very far away. I don't have any excuses, so I will definitely be there this time. So regarding Cosmoverse, I also think that October is a great period to have the conference, because it's like there will be some other conference in that time in Turkey, so it's just great to have all these conferences coming together, because attract different builders. And I think what we need in Cosmos is actually more people to join, because one of the biggest advantage that we had in the beginning, especially in the first wave of the interchain, was a lot of builders joining Cosmos and starting to build with the interchain stack. While we kind of have a slowdown last year, and I think right now with IBC finally proven to be reliable and the standard of interoperability, because one announcement that was just released yesterday, which is a big announcement, I mean, I was quite surprised as well, is that the Mitsubishi Bank, which is probably one of the largest financial organization in the world. I think they have something like 2 trillion assets, which is crazy. They will actually use IBC, because they have this program in Japan, which include testing multiple stablecoin and cross-chain transfer between stablecoin, and the technology they will use for cross-chain transfer is actually IBC. And this is big for adoption, because I'm not a fan of course, of centralized entities, but from one perspective, it's actually proved that IBC is a technology that has an use cases also crypto. And it's very important, because if we want that the interchain has mass adoption and Cosmos is seen as one of the leading technologies in the world, this kind of application is very important. What do you think about the news? Did you saw it yesterday?
I saw that, yeah. And I think when it comes to that, like in the context of Cosmos also, Avalanche, as I said, is the predominant network there. And Avalanche has a lot of enterprise partnerships there. So they have a partnership with Togg, which is basically the Tesla of Turkey. They're building electric cars there, and they're running pilot projects there. Also, there are some friendly institutions in Turkey that at least want to like explore and run pilot projects for, you know, with crypto and Web3 platforms. So I think from that angle, also, there's a lot of potential in Turkey. But yeah, I saw the announcement from yesterday, the tweet, but I didn't get to like fully dive into it. So can you share more on that?
Yeah, I can share more. Let me just find the tweet, because it's quite difficult to remember, because it was a very, very technical announcement, because they will use basically two blockchain, which is one is called Corda, And the other one is, I think it's called, I need to find it because I don't remember. So let me give just a few seconds. Okay, I'm almost there. In the meantime, I can build some suspense while I found the tweet.
I think
There we go,
Corda
there
is
we go.
like a consortium blockchain. I think I remember them from like a couple of years ago. I didn't know they're still very active, but I think you
Yeah,
know that's
so
like probably missing in Cosmos to have like networks that are optimized for enterprise adoption, because that's definitely a huge use case.
basically, this is a project coming from DataChain, which is one of the projects funded by the Interchain last year and also confirmed this year. And they basically have this. They are testing these two blockchain. One is from Mitsubishi, and it's called Corda. And Hyperledger ROI instead is actually not based on stablecoin, but local currencies. So it's like mixing both stablecoin and CBDC, unfortunately, because I'm not a fan of that, but yeah, they will use IBC, which is super interesting for our technology adoption. Because when you have this technology adoption, you also are more secure from regulation, because they need your tech, so they can't not using your tech, and it's a confirmation in this specific case, which is extremely important. So I want to talk about back to the topic, because actually topic of the call was IBC Atom story, and I'm curious, Cryptosito, what was actually your first IBC Atom story, or maybe one of the most interesting one? And what I mean with IBC Atom story, I mean basically on which project did you send Atom or use Atom for a specific use case?
Yeah, I mean, I learned about IBC like a few months before it went live. And Jack Sempelman was the man that basically onboarded me into Cosmos. And he explained to me like the whole idea of IBC and how everything works. And to me, like, because I always thought like interoperability is really the next big thing for crypto adoption. So, and I was not really aware of IBC before that, right? And aware of Cosmos before I heard about IBC from Jack. So, and then obviously when Osmosis went live, I guess that was my first IBC transaction. It's like, holy shit, that actually works and it's very smooth. And you don't even have to like worry about it in the background. If you're in Osmosis, you just click deposit and boom, your coins are there. So yeah, I mean, I think Osmosis played obviously a huge role taking IBC to markets. I don't have like a specific story around any, you know, IBC transaction or anything. I don't know, do you have any, or Liam? What's up, Liam?
Yo, yo. Yeah, I shared mine earlier, actually, Cito. It wasn't really a story, but it was the same kind of thing you're saying, like, you know, getting in, trying Osmosis. Did you participate in the Passage NFT sale? Because they used Atom for that as well.
I don't actually remember. I think, when was that? Was it late 2021? Or was it, when was it?
Yeah, it was one of the earliest, so it was
Mm.
quite a while ago. I think maybe early 2022 it was,
Okay.
or maybe late, no, yeah, or maybe it was late 2021 actually. Yeah,
Okay.
Yeah, I think it might have
it
been
was quite
December.
early.
It might have been December 2021, I think. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that right now the main use cases of IBC Atom is actually DeFi application, because we had a whole new way of DeFi application with the Yume, Comdex, and Crescent, and many more. So I think that many many cosmonauts are just degening with their IBC Atom right now, which I have some interesting story, but I don't want to share it because it's just a wrecked story. So
But
I
by the
some
way, sorry, by the
some
way, Rob,
yeah.
I was just going to say, Atom has, in 1 year on OmniFlix, Atom sales have been 67.5k atoms worth of NFT volume on OmniFlix in a year, and that's all IBC atom.
Oh, that's a lot, and I think it's very important for also Atom Value Accrual having this application, because I know there is some conflictual idea about is Atom money or is it reserve currency or but in the end no one can predict what Atom will be, because that's up to user. User will decide how to use Atom, what kind of application they will do with their Atom, if they wanna keep it as basically the value currency with replicated security. It will be their decision. If they wanna use it on DeFi or any other application, it will be their decision. And I think this is actually the right approach. We don't need to actually say what Atom is. It's just it will be shaped by the community. And I think having Atom flowing around is just beautiful to see. Yes, please.
Yeah, I just want to add to that. I think everybody, you know, I think we talked about this also on like previous Cosmos Hub spaces, but I think everybody's trying to be the hub in Cosmos, or like to have the most IBC traffic or most whatever. You know, there's also obviously been some words from the Osmosis community that say, hey, we're the hub, the Cosmos Hub actually doesn't do anything, and Atom is boring, whatever. But I had Gregory Landua, a long-term cosmonaut, obviously, the region also, they maintained the Cosmos SDK for a couple of years, I think in 2019 and 2020, I think, 2021. And he said it once in a stream that I had with him like years ago, I think, and he said, Atom is just a voluntary shelling point in Cosmos. And even though it probably doesn't have this killer application or clear single use case, up until now, maybe with replicated security being live, obviously that's a big one. But still, Atom as an asset is just, it's the most, you know, has the most brand recognition, most widely adopted, most liquidity, most centralized exchange listings. It's like where cosmonauts get started, like newly recruited cosmonauts. They start with the Cosmos Hub and Atom. And even though that's not technically true, I think it still is a self-fulfilling prophecy, because people just equalize Atom with Cosmos, right? But yeah, I think moving forward, Cosmos Hub and Atom has to more and more find its positioning. As you said, I think people severely underestimate Neutron going live. Also, I think Stride is extremely interesting, and they obviously killed it recently with you know, with onboarding users. I think they crossed a million of atoms that are now liquid staked through Stride, with 20% of them, so more than 200,000 atoms, are used as collateral in DeFi across various applications, and many more to come. PStake is live, Quicksilver, Lido will be coming, right? So there will also be more ways for Atom the asset to be more and more interesting in combination with all these use cases. So yeah, I think so far Atom didn't absorb a lot of that IBC traffic in terms of, if you compare it to Osmosis, but still it's the most stable in relation, obviously, but relatively stable asset in Cosmos. And again, like brand awareness, recognition, liquidity, volumes, right? So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the most interesting point of view by looking at what you just said is that I think that culture is very important, even in the blockchain space. And what I mean by that is that if you think at the cosmonaut culture and the people around Cosmos, they basically hold all these people hold Atom, even project building in the interchain hold Atom. So it's like it's basically having a home in the whole interchain, like where you like to come back and you are aligned, like a place to discussion. Because one thing that is for sure is that especially Cosmos governance is one of the most noisy in a good and bad way in the ecosystem, because it's always very heated discussion. You don't see this kind of discussion on governance in other in any other blockchain. It's just that people is extremely passionate about shaping the future of Cosmos Hub, And this is, I believe, is something special. I know that can be a bit tiring, especially when the Twitter feed becomes a bit radioactive, to stay in the radioactive session team. Can be difficult to hold it. It's definitely not easy, but this is also show how many people actually care about shaping the future of Cosmos Hub, be involved in the discussion, trying to make their point going through. And this is because they feel Cosmos Hub as part of already of this cosmonaut culture that that started from the Cosmos Hub, as being the first Cosmos blockchain to became most well recognized around the world. And now with IBC, they actually have the ability to move around on other blockchains, to travel through the interchain. And this is kind of create all these interesting dynamics, but in the end, it's like they kind of always come back home and join the old guy, as Liam said, because this is the name of the GitHub, which makes a lot of sense, because in some way it's actually created the Cosmos, in the meaning that all the major builders and all the companies around Cosmos actually found their home on the Cosmos Hub. And it can be seen also from all the current validators. And I like that you mentioned Gregory, because I agree that Gregory is definitely one of the OGs of the Cosmos SDK, one of the first on build on it, and also one of the leading maintainers. And I like his approach on cooperation. And it's cool that they finally have also a marketplace that is bringing a new application on Cosmos, which is eco credits and all this regenerative finance. Because one interesting thing about the interchain is that allows to have all this new application that brings also the real world inside the blockchain, because one thing that often we forget when we start degening around is that actually blockchain is as an important use case is also to impact in real life, because it's fun for sure to follow IPRs. We definitely did this in the bull market, and it was crazy, but we also don't have to forget that time like this are difficult from a market's perspective. This is the time to actually build groundbreaking technologies that have application in real life and can impact real life. And IBC is definitely one of these, and is one of the leading point of our ecosystem. And now IBC actually has a great application on the Cosmos Hub, because replicated security is based on IBC, and it will create this new ecosystem within this gargantuan ecosystem, which is Cosmos, because I'm always excited to think about how Cosmos will be in 10 years. And my view of the Cosmos ecosystem in 10 years will be that for starting, there will not be only Cosmos blockchain, but the blockchain infrastructure will be multiple. We will have, for sure, I think, Ethereum on the connect to IBC. We will have Polkadot connect to IBC, Avalanche. I think everything will be connected to IBC and will create this interchain ecosystem based on IBC that will probably have enterprises, as we mentioned it before. And within this amazing and big ecosystem, there will be actually this atom economic zone that now is starting to forming, which will be specialized in interchain services, because what CryptoZito often refers as the killer application of the Cosmos Hub, it is actually from this perspective an important application, because if we think it has interchain services, what interchain services means is that the consumer chain will provide services not for the hub, but for the broader interchain ecosystem. So, like, you have Neutron that can provide liquid staking, probably with Lido, and also multiple applications that you can build on Neutron. You have Stride that also is focused on liquid staking, and every IBC blockchain will use it. So it's not limited to the hub. You have many others coming, like Noble, which recently was announced also by Circle. So it's quite confirming USDC, and that's a whole new wave of liquidity coming. And in the meanwhile, I have a request. Added the speaker.
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
Noble, Stride, and Neutron, they're like big chains that are becoming consumer chains, and I'm really excited for those three alone. Because I know like everybody is already like thinking, okay, replicate security as of now is not scalable, that's why it's not gonna compete in the long term. But like it probably also doesn't really need to be scalable right now, right? We need use cases, and like I said, Neutron is huge. They're launching also with the DEX, and it will also be like refined tokenomics and refined incentive models. But yeah, let's see. Crypto Vortex is in the house. How are you?
Hi mate, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm hearing a lot of people talking about Atom's tokenomics, and I think you just mentioned it there, Saito, and the vesting schedule. And in general, apart from the Atom community, a lot of people look down on it, especially Cosmos as a token. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, sure. So Atom tokenomics is probably one of the most difficult topic around Atom, because it is basically always changing and evolving. Right now we have this dynamic inflation, which I don't think will be forever, because simply because with the replicated security a lot will change, and it will also allow an evolution in the tokenomics. We saw in Atom 2.0 that it was planned the tokenomics to change and inflation to drop down. And then that part was not voted, so we kind of head back to the initial point. But I think in the moment, replicated securities start to create a real revenue. Validators will not need necessarily inflation, because inflation is needed, and this is something that all proof-of-stake blockchain need to deal, because many proof-of-stake blockchain just think that we will reach a max cap and we will not have inflation. No, it doesn't work like that, because if you reach a max cap and you still don't have a revenue, how you paid for security, how you paid for validators? So this is actually an issue with the proof-of-stake security, which shows how early we are in this environment. And I think Atom tokenomics have the greatest advantage that can evolve with governance. And so, replying to your question, I think that they will adapt actually to future in a future where actually we will have some sort of revenue which doesn't come from inflation, but comes from consumer chains. But I can tell you that will change 100%, because it's all about the community. The community will decide, and we will see forum proposals start popping up, and we'll see what will happen. Cryptosito, maybe you have some thought about it.
Yeah, I want to add one thing, and also glad to see Jack joined. I think Jack was
Hey,
going to
hey,
sing
hey.
a long song about IBC. I just wanted to add one thing from Ivy on the tokenomics question. I think Atom tokenomics are relatively basic if you compare it to ETH or others out there, but it's also not the worst, right? I mean, it has this dynamic inflation right now, pegged to 2/3 of bonded atoms that are, there to provide security. Between 7% and 20% inflation. I think actually today Coinbase staked a couple millions of atoms, so the inflation went down again. And also, I think with IBC in mind, I think Atom also bootstrapped the IBC economy, the IBC token economy, right? And then obviously Osmosis took it to the market. But we were spoiled with airdrops left and right last year, and even now, right? We get constant airdrops. So Atom is like this base layer for many new chains in Cosmos to launch. I think that's not going to go on forever, of course. But so far, it's been pretty nice. And like you said, with replicated security and, you know, those three chains that we mentioned, there's going to be a lot of potentially native protocol revenue coming in, which generates yield for Atom stakers and validators outside of the inflation. But Jack, man, how are you? Maybe you have some thoughts on that?
I'm great. Yeah. I mean, I think that that's like a huge selling point for Interchain Security. And especially as we start rolling out these new chains, like really excited to see Neutron launch. Noble will move over at some point. Like these are chains that are designed to generate revenues for Atom stakers in a lot of ways. And, you know, it's a mutually beneficial relationship. We're bringing sort of security and visibility to these chains, and in return, they're paying the Atom stakers for that. Like, this is a big change to Atom itself, and one that I'm really, really excited about.
And I think that, as you mentioned, we are all excited about Noble because seeing Circle making a tweet and say that they are excited about Cosmos, it's just amazing because. Like it or not, they are a big part of crypto right now, and they have a lot of attention. And seeing they're basically saying, "Hey, we are super excited for Cosmos. It's just amazing for our ecosystem." And the Interchain needs right now absolutely liquidity because we are kind of lagging in liquidity right now because we have to rely to bridge that not always are actually trustable. And having more native assets is very important. So maybe, Jack, you can talk a little bit about it and what Noble can bring to the Cosmos.
Yeah, so, you know, ever since the loss of UST and the sort of collapse of Terra, we've been missing a native stablecoin in Cosmos. And Cosmonauts have taken on a lot of bridge risk. That's also a huge impediment to larger institutions coming into the ecosystem. And prevents market makers and folks like Wintermute and other sort of trading firms that drive a lot of volume on other chains from coming into Cosmos. So, you know, native USDC, a fully collateralized stablecoin, is kind of table stakes to bring a lot of those larger products in. And this has been one of the key missing pieces. And no one's really, before now, decided to do the work to bring that in. And this is one of the reasons why I started Strangelove is because there's a lot of these missing pieces in Cosmos that are sort of public goods in some ways that people haven't done the work to go make happen. And this Circle relationship is a great one. They needed an organization that was able to spend a lot of time working with them, talking them through the Cosmos technology, working through their regulatory and legal concerns. And finally, also doing the engineering work to bring Circle into Cosmos. And they don't really pay for that. So it requires a substantial upfront investment to do that. We've been just incredibly proud and excited to work with them. And they've been a great partner. And this is a key missing piece of financial infrastructure that should help Cosmos DeFi gain more market share, frankly, and allow for flows into and out of the ecosystem much easier. Because as I'm sure all the degens on this call know, it's not particularly easy right now moving assets in and out of Cosmos. And if you're a US person with all the bank failures recently, that's probably something that you're feeling more and more.
Yeah, I mean, macroeconomic definitely is not helping our ecosystem right now. And I think that IBC especially is all about fixing actually problem that we have right now in the blockchain space. And definitely Noble is stopping in fixing one big problem that we have right now, which is access to the Cosmos ecosystem and the liquidity. And as you said, if eventually we'll join the Cosmos Sub, replicated security will just be an amazing addition to Cosmos Sub because I think that Noble actually is a great interchain services because it provides a service that it is much needed in the ecosystem. And today, because we started the conversation about the IBC anniversary, is also the IBC anniversary on the hub. And Jack, you probably, you are one of the person that was there in that historic moment. So how you feel about being 2 years old in the Interchain? Like, how has been this journey? How do you feel it? How you see the future of IBC right now?
Yeah, I mean, that IBC launch was the culmination of 2 years of work at that point. So let's go back 2 years before that. This was right around the time when we were launching the hub in early 2019, and we had just started the IBC working group. And a lot of things happened in those 2 years between the launch of the hub and the launch of IBC, including the sort of breakup of all of the core teams, a lot of conflict within Cosmos. We did also a lot of adoption. Binance Chain was launched then, all of the various exchange chains, most of the sort of early Cosmos chains like Sentinel and Akash and a few other ones, Comdex, were all launched during that period. And what we had was the beginnings of something really special. And IBC was kind of the catalyst to bring all that together. You know, I wrote the first Relayer implementation, which was able to sort of knit the network together at the beginning. Hermes was not available at that time. And, you know, that was a huge moment for the entire ecosystem. I think Cosmos has always been brought together by this shared vision of independent sovereign zones that are able to communicate as peers. And that will be the basis for this crypto economy that we're all building. And that moment for me was really the culmination of years of really challenging things, both personally and professionally for me, shipping that product. Fast forwarding 2 years from there, we've seen incredible growth over the last 2 years that has, you know, frankly, slowed recently. A lot of that's because of the bear market, but some of that's because, you know, the software and decisions that we made 2 to 4 years ago need some readdressing and need some revitalization in some ways. IBC stands at a crossroads right now, 2 years after launch. We have simultaneously incredible opportunity in front of us to become the worldwide standard for communicating between blockchains, which is where, you know, I've placed all of our engineering resources, and, you know, there's many other teams like Polymer and the Interchain Berlin team and Informal, and most recently Quasar and Stride, that are also continuing to push the boundaries there. I think that, you know, the other way this could go is, instead of IBC becoming the standard, is that IBC kind of balkanizes and kind of splits into a bunch of smaller networks that are not necessarily supported with each other, and the user experience kind of continues to degrade. I think that as an ecosystem right now, we need to come together and pool resources to continue to fund the growth and expansion of IBC, both in terms of the number of networks it supports, and with rollups coming soon. You know, there's a tremendous amount of engineering work required to support all these different rollup architectures. Polymer just posted a great blog on this today. Not only like expanding the number of networks, but also the feature set. And you see this with Stride's middleware launch that they're working on. Osmosis is beginning to productionize swap and forward. Packet forward middleware is going on more and more chains. But both of those threads, the asynchronous composability and the sort of increase of the ecosystem, require continued investment. And, you know, yeah, I guess, Rob, to answer your question, I feel both tremendous pride and hope, but also there's, you know, there's a huge challenge ahead of us. I think the next 2 years for IBC are going to be just as critical as the last two.
I want to ask you that, Jack. We talked about this on a live stream a couple of weeks ago, when somebody asked if you could invest $1 billion into Cosmos, where would you put it in? And you immediately said IBC. So can you share maybe a little bit, expand on that? And also, like, I know like end game is always a weird term in crypto, because I don't think there's ever an end game. So it's constantly evolving. But how do you envision the end game? And why do you think IBC deserves $1 billion of funding?
Yeah, I think that that's a great question. So let me maybe answer the end game first and answer how to get there. The end game that IBC has always envisioned is one in which every blockchain, every like verified state machine that is sort of like blockchainy, and as time goes on, that includes more and more, you know, exotic state machines and different consensus algorithms and different security mechanisms around rollups and ZK proofs. All of that financial infrastructure should all be able to communicate with each other through a common, unbiased protocol that looks a lot like the internet. And, you know, there's a number of reasons why the internet ended up getting the adoption it did, but I think big ones are sovereignty. It enabled each organization that was joining this network to have the right to exit and to have the right to sort of control its own environment. And this is what IBC fundamentally offers. And it's why, even though it's received a lot less funding than a lot of competitors, look at Layer Zero, look at Axelar, which has raised a tremendous amount of money. All of these protocols all compete with IBC. But the reason IBC has seen the adoption that it has is because it is truly open source. It is truly an unbiased protocol. And it is the only thing really holding out hope for the future in terms of this sort of standard communication layer. Now, I think the reason why IBC is going to require a tremendous amount of investment and why you can usefully spend $1 billion on it is, if you think about these exotic state machines and rollups and all of this cryptography, that's a huge integration challenge. And there's no real way to abstract all that away. There's only a lot of hard work that's required to do 30, 40, 50 different integrations, maintain that software, and build out all of that infrastructure. And if you look in the traditional tech world, the only way that this is handled is by building organization around that, building community and structure around these open source projects, and being able to integrate a tremendous amount of different systems. Linux has done this. Kubernetes has done this. The large successful Web2 open source projects have figured out how to do this. We as IBC need to figure out how to do this. And it requires collective investment from all of the IBC chains, I think. Does that answer your question, Cito?
Yes, and I totally agree. I think that's the path forward for IBC to become the interoperability norm in crypto. And I know, yeah, you with Strangelove, you guys are also working heavily on integrating IBC and facilitating that integration work, as you mentioned, right, with IBC adoption on parachains, yep, or Near. So can you talk a little bit about, before we get, I think Bendy just came up and also Jacob, but can you talk a little bit about IBC adoption outside of Cosmos?
Yeah, you know, it is hard. Like, if you look at the bridging space, there's a tremendous amount of hacks. I'm sure Jacob's about to post the North Korea GIF, which is wonderful. But there are nation state level adversaries out there that are looking for any hole in this software. And doing this at scale and doing it safely and securely is one of the hardest challenges that we as an industry face. And frankly, it's one where Cosmos has just repeatedly excelled. I think the open source ethos of many eyes make all bugs shallow is very true in this case. And there's many sort of like security incidents to prove that. And I'm just incredibly proud of the team of folks who have helped maintain IBC. But I think the upshot there is building that same level of quality across multiple different ecosystems is extremely hard. And basically what we did last year was we built a lot of tooling to help enable these types of integrations. And that took, you know, a substantially sized engineering team most of a year to build out. And this year, we've actually, with that tooling, been able to start making some progress. We're extremely close to shipping on the Parachain IBC. Strangelove has just engaged a team to help do Avalanche IBC. The composable team has already done a lot of the pre-work on bringing IBC to NEAR. But the primitives, the WASM-like client, the interchain test framework, the modularization of the relayers that we've spent a lot of the last year pioneering, those are going to pay dividends this year and enable us to realistically include all of these other networks in IBC in a way that was just too large of a lift before. And, you know, it's not just those three that I mentioned. You know, those are the ones that we can probably expect to see live this year. But, you know, rollups is a huge theme. And right now, there really aren't these rollup ecosystems that exist, yet there's been a tremendous amount of money put into building them. And there's going to be a lot of app developers who end up going that direction because it's incredibly easy to launch. That is a market that all of our competitors substantially have their eyes squarely on. And if IBC isn't timely in addressing that market, we will continue to fall behind. And, you know, all of this tooling and expertise that we've built out doing these really hard L1 integrations, we're going to need to bring to bear on this rollup problem. And like, I keep harping on this coordination issue, but I really do think that there's a need for an IBC foundation to help steward this open source protocol and continue this funding into the future, because the current way that it's happening is not really beneficial for the future of the protocol.
Yeah, I think like before you joined, we also briefly talked about customer risk because we just had the announcement of the dates. But I think at Cosmoverse also, like, this could be a good leverage to also onboard developers and teams and projects that are outside of Cosmos to explore and learn and connect with builders in IBC. And I fully agree. I think an IBC foundation, I know, like, you've been thinking about this, like, basically since the beginning. But yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, you know, this has been a constant topic of discussion for a lot of the last year and a half for me, and we came very close to achieving that goal right before the Terra collapse. The Terra collapse, for a wide variety of reasons, kind of just halted progress there. And with the recent IBC innovations, looking at what the Polymer team is working on in terms of really far out there R&D, that's really exciting. Looking at what the Quasar team is doing in terms of bringing to production a lot of the best work of the last year. Look at Stride, very similar kind of thing. And the work that Strangelove has done to try to help tie all that together. Like, there's a renewed interest in this. And, you know, Bindi's on this call. I've been talking to the Atom Accelerator DAO about this, but this is something that I'm, you know, starting to hear a lot more interest in and really looking to drive forward in the short term right now.
Bendy, you want to add something to that?
I think that there are sort of two thoughts in my head, really. One is, I think as the accelerator, some of the, like, this is going to sound perverse, but some of the work that Jack's doing on bringing IBC, other chains to IBC is incredibly threatening to Atom, in the sense of, like, if we don't innovate and ship things and make Atom much stronger, then its position at the heart of IBC eventually becomes threatened. Because of my view on, you know, you used the sort of phrase earlier, Sito, about, like, end goal, like, eventually everything's IBC, like, is my guess. And so IBC at the moment is like a thing that makes our ecosystem special, but eventually it won't. And so you have to build enough stuff to give all of the app chains something that's special in them. And, you know, Atom, that's one of the things that
motivates me for getting things shipped for Atom is thinking, well, Jack's out there bringing IBC to all these other chains and all these other L1s, and we need to L1s. So there is a kind of cooperation thing that's really important in the world of Cosmos and IBC. I completely get that. It isn't about winning as such, but you have to be competitive as well. Talking about cooperation, though, like one of the things that we're trying to do, you know, as the Atom Accelerator, we can't fund interchain projects. That's not what we're here to do. And we don't have the £1 billion that Jack wants. But what we can do is we can work with other grant programs, core teams, people that want to fund interchain work and go, okay, all of this has that collective benefit. So how do we make this happen? And I think that one of the most important things that IBC's 2-year anniversary should remind us is like the attitude of shipping things and making it happen and not listening to the doubts or only listening to them in the sense of making them motivate you to go harder is really important, because I think otherwise, like, can all of the IBC chains cooperate? People will tell you that is not possible. Everyone's going to be selfish. Everyone's just going to want to spend on developing their own chains. I don't believe that. I really don't. I think that there, you know, the conversations I have with people says to me that everyone gets that we have to work together. And yes, there will be the odd squabble, or, you know, there will be rivalries. Of course there will. But I think that IBC is the thing that binds us together, and it is the kind of technological embodiment of the spirit of Cosmos, and it's what brought me in. And I think that, you know, what's really nice when you hit anniversaries is they are good points to remind you of that. You know, if you imagine, like, Cosmos doesn't work pre-IBC. IBC is what we do, and it is going to be the future of blockchain. And we have, you know, that should be a constant motivation to us to make our own individual chains the best they can possibly be.
Yeah. Vindi, I just want to double click on something you just said. Like, Cosmos didn't work before IBC. I remember sitting down with Zaki. We had just shipped the hub and we had this like celebration party. And the mood at the celebration party was not like, hey, we just hit some huge accomplishment. It was like everyone was sitting around looking at each other like, holy shit, we have so much more work to do. And I was like sitting in the corner with Zaki and I go, so we just launched one of these, and that was this huge lift. And in order for this IBC vision to be successful over the next year and a half, 2 years, we need to launch 10 to 20 more of these things. And then we need to build the interoperability protocol. And he looks at me and he goes, yeah. And it is still crazy to me that we actually did that. Like, I cannot believe that that actually happened. Like, some days I just like pinch myself and I'm like, oh my God. And, you know, this is a similar time. Like, we should be patting ourselves on the back. It's been an incredible last couple of years of IBC. It's by far the most used interoperability protocol in the world. It's this glittering vision for the future of blockchain, and it provides this avenue for really unique user experiences and scaling. But at the same time, the scale of work ahead of us is non-trivial. We cannot ignore that or look away from it. And, you know, this is the sort of the good part and the bad part about having these big, hairy visions is that they take a long time and they require a lot of, like, work.
I think also people's vision of IBC is still, and, you know, and I count myself in this group really, is still limited to thinking, oh, brilliant, I can send some tokens around. And, like, you know, that is not, as I understand it, like, that's a fraction of what IBC really is. Like, when we, you know, going back to Sito's thing of the end goal, like, that isn't sending tokens from place A to place B, as, you know, and I don't mean to disparage the work that's been done, I really don't, but that is a fraction of the vision. It's a fraction of what the tech is going to do. It's a fraction of what it can do today. And, you know, we're going to see people creating enormous innovation in this area. And as a user, you're just not going to know. Like, it is so difficult as a Cosmos sort of native to has anyone actually bridged anything recently? And, like, the actual stress of that, like, sending some tokens around and going, oh, I don't know if they're going to turn up. I'll check back in 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Imagine waiting that long for your tokens. But like, so the tokens bit is like massive, but it is only going to be a fraction of what we actually use in the future. And I think that as a non-technical person, I just have to be very grateful to the technical people that are able to do it. And then I get to appreciate it in my day-to-day use of the Cosmos.
Yeah, we were actually talking earlier in the call about all the new IBC application, because there are interchain account, interchain queries, interchain cross-chain validation. So they're actually now starting a lot of IBC application that goes beyond token transfer. And I think Jack, that actually recently worked on a specification for interchain queries. So maybe you can add something on that and share what is actually the IBC application that is most interested to develop in the coming month.
Yeah, I think that that's kind of a complex answer in a lot of ways. Let me just kind of like lay out the top level challenge and what we have to compete against, and then talk about sort of how we get there, because there's a number of different answers and there's no easy win. There's easy wins, but there's no easy answer to the whole problem. On Ethereum, you can seamlessly compose many different DeFi protocols. You can deposit tokens into a contract that goes and levers you up on MakerDAO, makes a trade on Uniswap, and then goes and borrows money on Aave. And then you end up with those resultant tokens in your wallet. In Cosmos right now, each of the chains is sort of independent, and users have to complete transactions for each step of that. And when you're signing with a ledger, that's a lot of button clicking, and it's a huge friction point. It's also confusing and scary. You know, in the same way Bindi was talking about 15 minutes for tokens taking a long time, 15 minutes sending five different transactions where you don't really know what you're getting at the end unless you've got a degree in finance and you've got your spreadsheet open the whole way, that's a daunting and intimidating process, and not one that will allow us to onboard billions of users, which is really where we're going here. We built a system for massive scale, and like we needed to, like for it to show its true strengths, we need to reach that massive scale. So how do we re-enable this sort of cross-application composability? Some of it is with things like interchain queries. When you have two different blockchains, they don't necessarily know about the data that each of the other one is storing, and that makes some of this composability hard. So that's the problem that interchain queries solves. It allows you to take data from one verified state machine and bring it in a trusted way into another verified state machine. So this is sort of a generic oracle. Any data that exists on a blockchain across IBC should be available to any other blockchain that exists on, or contract that exists on IBC. That's what interchain queries does. Interchain accounts is sort of the other side. Any blockchain or smart contract should be able to write data to any other blockchain or smart contract within IBC. Those are the sort of like key components of composability. Other ones are enabling users to automate further steps of the transaction. So in the example that we talked about where you're using Maker to get some leverage, you're going to go trade on Uniswap, and then you're going to borrow some assets or lend some assets on a different protocol. Each one of those steps requires additional transactions in IBC. There's a way where applications can expose themselves via IBC, where instead of the user having to send a transaction on the application chain, the processing of the incoming IBC packet contains the user's intent. It enables that user to string together multiple different interactions and end up wherever in the interchain they want to go just by signing one transaction on a ledger. And that goes by the sort of generic name of middleware. It's sort of early in the middleware stage, but there's a lot of innovation happening there that's going to enable this composability. So, that's all of the on-chain pieces. The even harder pieces, which is what Dan from Cosmology is working on, is enabling the UI to help surface a lot of these more complex interactions and bring them to users. Quasar has done a great job combining interchain queries and interchain accounts in this unique way that enables vaults. And I expect to see a lot more applications like that now that people know that it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, definitely you gave us a perspective that it's very important because we are basically facing two main challenges, which is shipping the tech and make it interesting to the user. Because if IBC will be too much complex for the end user, it will not actually have adoption. So it's very important to kind of have this perspective, and I appreciate that that you make it this point, because I think that for IBC to have more adoption, and especially so even in real world, the impact with user will be extremely important, and I think that interchain accounts is probably a first step in the right direction, because it simplifies the interaction with user, because they can access to complex IBC operation from one single interface. So this is actually interesting. And it will be also interesting to see something that make this use on the Cosmos Hub. I know Stride is coming, but maybe I saw some people speaking about a wallet specific for consumer chain and having this kind of seamless interaction for the Atom economic zone that will be built, because it's very important that we take care of our user, I think. I see Bendy agreeing, so maybe he has some thought about the Atom accelerator about that.
I mean, this is just a I'm hoping it isn't just a fantasy of mine, but I think I dream of a world where, as a user of Atom, I go to a web page and I can interact with all of the consumer chains, and I can do a kind of thing where I'll liquid stake my Atom, I'll go and get some leverage, I'll go and make a trade, I'll do all of that. And basically, I won't know what chains I've interacted with. I won't, you know, I'll have said that I want to do it. I'll have confirmed my transaction, but in a way that I understand it. And then everything else in terms of token swaps, in terms of what chains I'm interacting with, and that could be multiple chains in that journey, all just happens in one transaction, as it were. And I think that, you know, that it's sort of getting to a point where user experience is that good I've got not any problem with what we have right now. It's where we are. But, you know, imagine if you imagine going into one of your Web2 apps, and you can configure some things that you want to do with your money today, where you say, yeah, I want to take out a loan, I want to do this, or I want to open a savings account. Like, basically, you just do it and there are some sliders. Imagine a thing where you're doing something like that, and you get to configure the transaction you want to do, or the financial position you want to take, or whatever that is that you want to do, and it feels that easy. And then you hit that's the transaction you want to make, and you sign it. And then the wallet and all of the kind of tech behind it do all of these complex things, and you never know what you've used, and everyone still accrues all their fees, and all the kind of chains get used, and these use cases actually have a purpose. But from an Atom point of view, you just go, yeah, that's Atom and that's the Cosmos, and I've used it. And that's how you kind of, like, you know, if you think about it, the idea that we're going to have brands that everyone recognizes, that isn't how the world works in you know, today. When you make a payment online, you will know who you've made your payment with, but you don't know whether it's WorldPay or Stripe or who, you know, or which bank that company, like, you don't know any of that stuff. It's all there, but you don't know it, and you don't need to. And I think there's a version of that that needs to happen with our kind of UI. So maybe this is a fantasy world of mine, but I would love to see someone step up to the plate and go, I can build that. I can build a thing that is going to make user experience so good. And, you know, because I'm just wearing a very specific Atom hat from my point of view, saying, yeah, we're going to focus on making that for all of the consumer chains. And then it makes the hub really appealing, because actually for chains, they can think, well, there's a user base that come here and they regularly interact with the hub and they use all of its products. And I could be a product within that hub and I will still get all of these users, and you start to be able to leverage the Atom brand. Like, that's one of our big assets at the moment within the Cosmos, is that we are Atom. So everyone comes to us first. And making that kind of experience really user-friendly, then they're going to stick with us and they're going to know that brand, and we're going to become a real meaningful force with a huge user base that want to stay and utilize us. So, you know, if there are any builders out there listening to this call that think, yeah, I can build a wallet, I can do that, that sounds really exciting, please, please, please get in touch, because my God, we want this kind of thing to happen.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for this explanation, and it is very Atom focused, and I definitely appreciate, because I think that now, especially with Atom Accelerator, for the first time we have a DAO that is basically focused 100% on bringing value and this kind of application to the Cosmos Hub. So it will be definitely interesting, and you're definitely have a good vision that it is inspired probably from the real world and not the blockchain space, because right now in the blockchain space I feel that because it's very early, it's not very user focused. We kind of are mostly focused on shipping the Cortel technology and also a primitive of application in DeFi. But the user perspective is still not there, and there is definitely time, but this time is limited. It's definitely should be a focus in the coming months, hopefully. So
projects like this take time to build, right? So we need to start the process soon.
Guys.
Yeah.
Rob, I just want to say, first off, thank you very much for hosting this. This is a bad needed thing. I think that I'm really glad that we're starting to do these more frequently. I'm looking forward to attending in the future. A great day to celebrate as cosmonauts. And I'm sorry if I kind of sounded a little like call to arms, but it's kind of what I'm feeling right now. Like, you know, we've come a long way, but we have a long way left to go. And we can't forget that. We got to remember what the North Star is here, why we're doing this work, and like where we're going. I have to run. But thank you guys very much for your time. Looking forward to coming to join this in the future, hopefully. You guys have a great one.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you for adding all this interesting stuff about IBC. So actually, just recently joined also Jack of ED. So if anyone of you guys want to add something to the discussion.
Yeah, I just want to thanks for having me again. I've been on, I think, a couple of these at this point. So appreciate you guys always accepting my request to speak. But Rob, I think you brought it up about an interchain wallet, and I kind of wanted to like double click and elaborate further on that, because I think the Kepler team, Cosmos Station, we've had a lot of good teams build out, I think, really good wallets for the Cosmos ecosystem. But we have a long way to go in order to bring the IBC ecosystem to like the next billion users in the future. Like, I just had a conversation today or yesterday with a coworker of mine who is extremely crypto native on the Ethereum ecosystem side. And he was asking me like, hey, how do I even move Atom from Osmosis to back to the Cosmos Hub? Like, something as simple as that is not intuitive to the average crypto user that is extremely crypto native on in other ecosystems. And I think there's actually a really good business case for why the hub, and I think why the not just consumer chains, but the interchain itself needs a new wallet interface. And I actually think this is a bull case for Neutron. So Neutron as like a landing spot for all of Cosmos DeFi, imagine a world where Osmosis, Mars, Quasar, Sommelier, eventually when they have Cosmos related ecosystem strategies, imagine this world where all of them launch their own outposts on Neutron. As a general smart contracting platform, imagine there's like a wallet interface that's launched on top of Neutron that allows DEX aggregation, yield aggregation. You're gonna be able to do like atomic and even non-atomic asynchronous composability across the interchain and have all this work abstracted away in this like interchain wallet. This as we all see, like if you look at MetaMask, if you look at Coinbase Wallet, front-facing consumer applications have the customer relationship. And if you look at MetaMask, for example, every single swap that goes through MetaMask swap, they charge a 15 bips fee for every swap that happens. And they're printing money. MetaMask and Consensus itself is printing money because they own that customer relationship and they're able to charge a very small fee for providing a service. And at the end of the day, like whoever owns the customer has the strongest moat and can charge the most fees. And I think whoever creates an interchain wallet that like is specifically leveraging on, you know, built on top of Neutron, not only does it grow more value for the hub itself as a value accrual mechanism in Neutron, it actually also like sends more order flow to the various app chains in the ecosystem. And I think leveraging interchain accounts, leveraging interchain queries, like building on top of the infrastructure that I think a lot of the good work that Strangelove and the Quasar team and Stride team are building and bringing to market to abstract away the interchain, like there's a multi-billion dollar opportunity here for whoever can build the next iteration of the interchain wallet. And if everyone remembers back in, I want to say July or August last year, Peng left Ignite, and Ignite was building a lot of like, I think it was called Emrys. It was supposed to be this interchain UI, this interchain portfolio manager, and they open sourced that work before right when Peng left down. Like all that work is open sourced currently on GitHub. So I think one of the things that the Atom Accelerator DAO should look at is who is willing to pick up that work that was left off by the Emrys team inside Ignite, and let's continue furthering like that development, because that is not only a way to bring on the next billion users to the interchain, that is extreme and a huge value accrual mechanism for the hub and for Neutron. So I kind of just wanted to like elaborate on that, because I think it's just an incredible opportunity. I think that a lot of people aren't discussing enough.
Yeah, please,
because I also have to run, but 100% agree. And I think Emrys, I don't know if anybody's currently working on that or has picked that up, but that's a very good point. So I think Bendy left, but maybe we can ping them and the Atom Accelerator team to check that out. But yeah, I also have to run. Dinner's ready. But thanks for having me. And I hope you guys have a great conversation.
Yeah, thanks, man. And I think that we can also be ready to close the conversation, because we are well in almost 2 hours, unless... D-Point is actually... definitely interesting, because I was quite active on Cosmos even during Emrys, and I was very excited because that was basically so as a portal to the interchain. So it was interesting for me. It's unfortunate that it wasn't completed. It was a cool vision. So does anyone have what? Otherwise, we can close it for today. Do you guys hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Yep, we hear you.
Okay, good. So I think that if anyone doesn't want to add anything to the conversation, because I'm hosting like from 2 hours, so I start to feel it. And this has been actually a great conversation, because Liam helped me in the beginning, and because Radioactive Session is extremely challenging because it's an experiment. So it's basically start without guests. So you never know if someone will come to speak, and it's kind of scary in the beginning to host this kind of conversation. But in the end, it's nice that how the conversation developed with the many people joining and sharing very interesting stuff, especially during the IBC anniversary. So thank you guys for participating. Thank you for sharing your talk. This has been a great conversation, a great day for the Cosmos Hub, for IBC. And it's cool that the future seems bright and there is so much development happening, so much new vision, and let's build it. I mean, thank you guys.
Thanks, Rob.
And everyone, come and speak at the next one. You know, don't be scared. Don't worry if you know, you're not sure how to word things. Like, we want this call. At least I think, you know, from what Rob's saying, this call is for everyone and anyone interested in Cosmos to come and share their thoughts and talk about what's important to them. And I think the more we get discussing these things as a community and sharing our passions and interests, like the more we can push forward around the Cosmos Hub and also just have a good time together. So we'd love more of you to come and chat. It's not as scary as it seems. Just request to speak in the next Radioactive sessions, and we'd love to hear some of you talking next time.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was The Atom Zone, Radioactive Session number 2, recorded on Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support now.
Put your hands up like you got a couple questions. Ain't no misdirection, just a bunch of flexing. All aggressive, insane from all directions. Smoke rolls in when I start a session. Blank canvas, blaze up the handlers. Rocking back and forth like I got the van stuck. Don't grind the clutch, mind you hush. Put your mask on and don't touch the antlers. Feeling untouchable when I'm on the verse. But in the universe, I'm just writing some words. Enticing these nerds while I'm laying out my memoirs. Like, remember when I had to fight the centaur? I'm a book nerd, let me take you on the journey. Lost in the labyrinth, searching out the lost fern. For certain, got the taxes included. Acting like a writer, never felt secluded. Shit and line them up. Just another fixed game of try my luck. Go lighten up, dog. It could always be worse. Unless you're in the back of a hearse, then you're dead. Or put it in new speakers. It's a toss up, driver or just tweakers. Don't stress, yo. I've done the research. Living life like a bunch of fucking lemurs. It's a remake off the cutting floor. We take a little bit of poison and put it in the cheesecake. Tastes great, less filling, less stress, more killing. As he blew the cornerstone out the building and the blocks came tumbling down all humble. Feels like we're drowning in a little puddle. Rebuttal? I should be taking off in the shuttle. Getting high in space with the Hubble.